Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, one of the great comic actors working today, stopped by for a visit.
Here's a question for you. Can I be a cartoonist for The New Yorker?
You were once on Seinfeld.
What? It's funny.
It's a pig in a complaint department.
Yeah, and he's saying, I wish I was taller. See? That's his complaint.
I get it.
Do you? Because that's not a normal complaint.
Well, how about if it was something like, I can't find my receipt, my place is a sty.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus killed on Seinfeld every week as Elaine Benes, and she's still killing as Selina Meyer on Veep. She plays an incompetent vice president surrounded by completely incompetent lackeys, and in the show's fourth season, she suddenly became a ravingly incompetent president of the United States. So I was just in a meeting with one of our political correspondents. We were talking about how to cover this insane election.
Yeah.
And I said, by the way, I'm going to go interview in about a half an hour Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and she's amazing in Veep. And he got all excited. He said, this is the one thing I've ever seen in my life on television or in movies that it's exactly the way politics plays out behind closed doors. That people are amoral, crazily ambitious. And you did a lot of research. You talked to chiefs of staff and office holders and so on. And what were you hearing that began to inform what Veep would be?
I think it's what I heard and also what I didn't hear, you know, sort of reading between the lines, talking to these people. And then also, you know, at the end of the day, they're just like you and me. I mean, in other words, the parallels between politics and show business are there. And
craven, venal, money hungry,
yeah, ambitious, and nasty, and a lot of huge amounts of ego. And
were the people honest with you? Did they say
some people were and some people weren't? But okay. You can tell a
lot
of time.
Okay, so who was honest with you?
Well, who was honest with me? I had one woman who's a scheduler for a senator.
Yeah,
and she said that she sleeps with her BlackBerry next to her head. And she said that proudly. And she said that she keeps, when her boss travels, which he does frequently for, you know, around the globe, that she gets on his time zone. So, and she said, nobody knows him better than I do. And it was, and she said that sort of with a kind of a maniacal look in her face.
Like a 50s office wife in one of those rom-coms.
Yes, except she's quite young. This woman was quite young.
So it had a nice creepy edge to it.
Well, I don't mean that she was like, it wasn't a sexual thing necessarily, but it had a funky vibe to it.
But did you get a sense when you were around politicians and people in politics that they believed in something?
With certain people I do, yeah.
Who?
With certain people I do. Well, I think Joe Biden believes in something very strongly.
And what's been your conversations with him about your shared office?
Well, let's see. I mean, he confirmed – it was interesting talking to him because I spoke also to Al Gore. And they both sort of said similar things about the – there is a kind of you know, it's the number two position. There's a reality there that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that you're waiting for somebody's health to go or you're in the wings the
whole
time.
I mean, nobody – I don't think anybody who strives – or desires or dreams about getting into politics, dreams about being the vice president.
The show is going to resume in late April.
Yeah.
On HBO. Meanwhile, there's this crazy election going on. As we're sitting here, Donald Trump seems to be pulling ahead and becoming the Republican candidate.
If I had told you that a year ago.
You beat me to the punch, yeah.
Right? You would not have believed it. It would be a joke.
BuzzFeed did a very smart thing. They went on the collected interviews that Howard Stern has done with Donald Trump about women. And he's going to be the Republican candidate, not necessarily a lock, but he's getting there. How do you compete with reality?
Here's the thing. When this show started, it was political satire. And now it feels really like a somber documentary. I don't know what else to say. If you took language that these guys are saying, you put it into our script, we would get notes from HBO saying it's too broad.
Too much.
It's over the top.
Yeah, can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, no insulting Mexicans and no thinking about sleeping with Princess Diana.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pulling ahead. I just thought I'd mention that.
I know.
Yeah. Does that going to influence how the show goes?
Mm-mm, no. I mean, we've created this sort of alternate universe where obviously none of these.
I mean, your guys look like Thomas Jefferson by comparison.
Maybe I should run as Selina Meyer.
Well, and you're not going to tell us if you win or you're going to lose, but what's going to happen to the character of Selina? Does she change? Does she grow? Does she hug?
Come on. What the f*** are you talking about? Never.
What are her politics?
Her politics
I don't even know what party she belongs to.
No, you don't know what party she belongs to. Her politics are all about her and staying alive. Her politics are me politics. And she will hold any position if it keeps her in office. Those are her politics.
You've described the differences between Veep, but sometimes there's a wonderful obsession about absolute nonsense. We have a clip here where the staff, which would probably be talking about, I don't know, higher policy matters of domestic or foreign kind, talks extensively about pancake flipping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is the pancake brunch setup. General holding area here.
Yeah.
Juices and coffees, hot plates and griddles.
Okay, the minute you see bubbles, you flip.
No. You flip when you see holes. Bubbles is too soon.
Holes, not bubbles.
Okay, I flip at bubbles, but...
Fun fact, there are three kinds of syrup. Boysenberry, maple, and buttermilk.
Uh-huh.
Buttermilk is not a syrup.
Okay, man, what if you said this?
Yeah.
Who's aching for some bacon?
No.
What's wrong?
Okay, I can't prep anymore, right?
Really?
I might vomit on Mike.
Yeah.
Now, this is a scene that comes right off of C-SPAN in a way. You know, these documentaries, The Road to the White House, and you see them set up some kind of thing for a candidate.
Of course, yeah. This happens all the time. Yeah. There's no reason to think that it doesn't happen. They do have these conversations. Going from one f***ing event to another, can you imagine how exhausting that must be and trying to seem like you're so happy to be there?
Delighted to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm so happy I'm not a real politician.
So you began in a kind of improv background, in a theater background in college.
Yes.
And you were in a successful production. A producer walks backstage and he or she is from Saturday Night Live.
He.
And you're off to the races.
Yes.
Am I wrong and think it's been a pretty charmed career?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it hasn't all been, you know,
easy.
Chocolate and roses.
Yeah.
But it has been a lot of fun. And even in retrospect, looking back when it wasn't fun, I guess it sort of was in a weird, bizarre way. But
is it what you wanted? When you were doing theater in college, did you think, well, if I could have my absolute druthers, if this could all go well, I could be, and then you thought Meryl Streep, or you thought Gilda Radner, or what was in your mind in terms of ambition?
I wanted to get a job. That was my ambition.
Yeah.
I wanted to be taken seriously as an actress, and I wanted a gig. And so, yes, my dream has come true. And particularly, I would say now, I really like working in an ensemble, which I very much feel that Veep is.
And you were in an ensemble, Saturday Night Live, but it turned out the ensemble was not a happy family.
At all.
And
right.
Why not? What, you went there, you thought this is the best of all possible worlds.
You
get there, and the one person you connect with is the most miserable son of a bitch on earth, which is Larry David, who's incredibly unhappy, getting none of his sketches on the air.
Correct.
And you're, what's happening with you?
Well, I cried a lot. I was very young, for starters. I was 21.
Were you misused, or were you not ready, or what was
all
what
of
was
the
happening?
Above? Yeah. I will absolutely take responsibility for a lot of it because I was very naive. I came in thinking it was an ensemble. We'd all work together to find stuff. You know, I didn't know. I was a college student. I had no idea. I didn't come in with a bag of tricks. Now, the other thing I should mention is that a lot of people were doing drugs, big time drugs. I was, again, so naive. I just thought, you know, oh, that's so weird. That guy's script is, that sketch is like 17 pages long. And at the table read, he's howling, laughing.
I wonder why.
He seems so energetic.
Yeah. And he's sniffling. What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was kind of funky time.
And when you say it was completely male, the ethos was male, or just everybody at the writer's table is a guy?
All of it. All of it.
And it's not like this is 1947, and I don't mean to sound naive, but didn't anybody say this is missing half of human experience? And
no, people don't. No, that's not how. Maybe that's how people talk here at The New Yorker.
Yeah.
But not there. No.
Describe this. In other words, describe the world of Hollywood, why there aren't more women in places of authority, directors, producers, and more to the point, studio heads. And yet this is liberal Hollywood, supposedly.
Isn't this the reality almost in any business, big money-making business? And I'd love to be – I'd love for you to tell me, well, no, it's not the case in – but what is it not the case in?
Yeah. And so what's happening? Is anything happening in Hollywood? Is there a louder, more intelligent, more forceful discussion and a proactive effort that you sense, or is it just a lot of chatter?
I think it's a lot of chatter, and
really?
I don't mean to sound discouraging. I mean, I'm pushing back all the time as much as I possibly can. You know, it's been interesting because it's taken – I'm producing on Veep, but getting a credit as a producer in my lifetime has been – sometimes I've gotten a lot of pushback on it in a way that I wonder if would be the case if I was a man.
And how does the pushback take shape? How does it
– It's a negotiation that is hard, that seems like – certain parties aren't going to move on. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that HBO has been difficult in any way to deal with. That is not the case. But there have been other instances in my life in which I've produced and there's been a pushback. Anyway, I got my way. So that's good.
Julie, thank you.
Are we done?
We're done.
Thank you very much.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
It was fun. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the star and producer of Veep. Season 5 starts next month.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.